The Haines Planning Commission works toward more oversight on borough projects, and the new Helisky Map Committee includes two Helisky company owners. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Haines Portage Cove Harbor expansion bid process has been delayed again, but this time it's because of inclement weather. Borough Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan says he heard from potential bidders this week who were worried about getting their proposals in by Wednesday's deadline.
At least one company for sure yesterday called me, and they were worried about their proposal getting here, or their bid getting here. It was sitting with seaplanes, and they weren't sure it was going to fly on time. And so we had more than one call on that, so we decided that we would just give them an extra 7 days. It doesn't really impact the timing of the project, and we wanted to get as many bids as possible.
The deadline is now October 25th at 2 p.m. The bid involves work on phase one of the small boat harbor expansion. That includes harbor basin dredging, a steel wave barrier, moorage pile replacement, and the uplands parking area. The work is estimated to cost $15 million. The original deadline for construction bids was about a month ago, September 21st, but Borough Manager Bill Seward extended the deadline at the request of the Planning Commission. Planners asked for the extension because of three citizen appeals of the manager's decision to grant a land use permit for the harbor project. The Planning Commission recently heard those appeals and voted to uphold the permit. Two residents who appealed plan to take their cases to the Borough Assembly. Now that the bid deadline has been extended again, Ryan says he hopes to get the harbor construction contract before the Assembly at its November 9th meeting. Amid controversy over the small boat harbor expansion, the Haines Planning Commission last week voted unanimously in favor of an ordinance that would give them more oversight in future borough projects. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
The vote came after hours of discussion about three appeals of the permitting process for the first phase of the Portage Cove Harbor Expansion Project. During that part of the meeting, conversation broadened to include the role of the Planning Commission and public process throughout the project. Here's Commissioner Heather Lendy.
We've just spent, 3 hours debating a project that everybody assured us, don't worry, it's all fine, the public process, but it hasn't been. And so people are kind of suspect right now, and they want to make sure that when stuff happens, there's a review so we're not caught late.
Commissioner Brenda Josephson shared similar frustrations.
Whenever there was an opportunity to view it one way or another, it was always aired in let's do it in the borough office rather than let's do it in the public. And I find it frustrating that consistently that was the choice that was given and that was made when the Planning Commission is the planning body.
These comments reflect a bigger argument that has shadowed the project for some time, that the Planning Commission and the public were not involved in this project as early as they should have been. But as Chair Rob Goldberg reminded the commission, legally, the borough did nothing wrong.
I think that the Planning Commission should have been involved earlier, but at the same time, I don't think there was a violation of code, because the current code just says it has to come to us. Doesn't say when or at what stage of development.
Now they're trying to change that with new code that would ensure the commission is involved earlier for significant projects. Goldberg worked with Borough Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan and Borough Manager Bill Seward to draft the wording. At Ryan's suggestion, it said only projects over $100,000 would need to come before the group. His concern was that the commission could end up slowing down smaller projects like routine maintenance. That caused a big holdup in the discussion. Here's Josephson.
I disagree with adding with a value over $100,000. It could be a porta potty they're putting a third in May. I think that's something that we should be looking at.
But others, like Commissioner Donnie Turner, agreed the commission shouldn't have to look at every little project.
If you're going to have everything that happens at the borough, if Andis is replacing a door, we're going to have to see a conceptual design.
And Borough Assemblywoman Diana Lapham argued the planners were trying to take their role too far, getting in the way of everyday operations.
You are totally shutting down, effectively shutting down this borough because you feel everything's got to be run through the planning and zoning.
Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan reiterated his concerns.
I can just imagine that Will's going to build a shed beside his public workshop to store some stuff in. We've already talked about it. It's like a lean-to shed. Is that coming to you?
It should. Absolutely.
That was Josephson, who advocated throughout the discussion for more Planning Commission oversight. But Goldberg pushed back.
You cannot account for every possible thing that might happen. It just is not possible to write code that way. It just, you'd end up with a code that was so convoluted, you cannot take into account every possible thing that might happen. And especially, you can't attribute motive to people and assume that something nefarious is going to happen. And that really, I don't like that.
In the end, with suggestions from Haynesborough attorney Patrick Munson, the commission agreed they should review and report to the Borough Assembly regarding the location, design, construction, demolition, or disposition of every public building, facility, collector, or arterial street, park, greenbelt, playground, or other facility. They agreed to exempt routine maintenance from the requirement. The last part of the ordinance says plans for the construction of new borough facilities with a value over $100,000 will go to the commission for review at a public hearing at the conceptual stage of design. Then they'll decide whether additional public hearings and design review are required at different stages of the design process. The commission voted unanimously to recommend the Borough Assembly adopt the draft ordinance. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
The newly formed Haines-Helisky Map Committee met for the first time Tuesday. The committee has a tight deadline to review amendment requests for the existing map that dictates where heliskiing can take place in the Haines area. The committee hasn't even started its work, but there is already controversy surrounding it. The controversy has to do with the committee's makeup. Two of the five members are also owners of the heliskiing companies that filed the map amendment requests. The committee's job is to make a recommendation to Borough Manager Bill Seward. Seward will pass on the recommendation to the Borough Assembly, which will make the final call on whether to alter the commercial ski area's map. Haynesborough Code dictates some general guidelines for the committee. The code states the committee shall be made up of five voting members, including a representative of a local conservation organization, a Borough Assembly member, a representative from the heliski industry, and two residents randomly selected from those who apply. Mayor Jan Hill appointed Tokshinnik Watershed Council Executive Director Meredith Pokart to the Conservation Group seat. Ron Jackson took the Assembly seat. Alaska heliskiing owner Sean Brownell is the industry representative. And the two residents randomly chosen from seven applicants are Lori Smith and Scott Sundberg. Sundberg owns Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures, or SEBA. That is one of the companies that requested ski map changes. The other is Alaska Heliskiing. That means two of the five seats on the committee that will make a recommendation on the map change requests are owners of the companies that submitted those requests. Here's Sundberg.
I don't think there's a conflict. I'm a concerned citizen. I'm actually very educated on this topic. I was allowed to do it by code as it exists.
Sundberg said when the committee is discussing the request from his company, he will be speaking as a committee member, not a SEBA representative. Borough Manager Seward also addressed the matter. He said some people have objected to Sundberg's position on the committee.
You know, I've actually met with Sonny, and I think he's going to be here. He's going to be very objective.
The other residents who applied to serve on the committee were Bruce Bauer, Carolyn Wyshawn, Ted Cheney, Mark Smith, and Joe Ordonez. Seward says Lori Smith and Sundberg were selected using an online electronic random choice generator. The committee hasn't yet started discussing or making decisions about the two map amendment requests. On Tuesday, they elected Assemblyman Jackson as chair and Brownell as vice chair. They heard from Seward about the three areas he wants them to consider when making a recommendation: safety, commerce, and environmental stewardship.
As you guys well know, the pollution that the aircraft generate is noise. We have a lot of noise pollution from the aircraft. So with that, we want to be good stewards, you know, by acknowledging that there's wildlife out there, and there's also residents out there, and there's also folks competing to use the same area, like backcountry skiers and things of that sort.
The committee plans to involve Alaska Fish and Game wildlife biologist Kevin White in their discussion. White is working on a study of mountain goat habitat in the Upperland Canal. Research shows mountain goats are sensitive to helicopter noise. One of the main drivers of Fish and Game's study is to provide data that will inform decisions on where heliskiing is allowed in the Chilkat Valley. The committee's timing isn't ideal in that regard. White says there will be an initial analysis of the habitat data around February, but the committee's deadline to make a recommendation is November 30th. White says at this point he'll only be able to provide general information about goat habitat in the area. The Helisky Map Committee's next meeting is set for October 27th at 5 p.m. There, the committee will start delving into the map amendment requests. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.